We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You know, we're going to start it. We're peaking early at this hour because there's not a person involved in football that I don't look for information to before. I listen and look for Mr. Mike Lombardi from TheRinger.com. He's got a podcast out, GM Street, and you can follow him for up-to-date momentary analysis at M. Lombardi NFL. And last night, he was firing it off during Thursday Night Football. The great Mike Lombardi's here. Hi, Mike.
Hello, Angelo. Great game last night. How'd you stay awake for the whole thing?
I didn't stay awake, but I felt there were a couple of curious coaching decisions, Mike, involving Andy Reid. Did you see, should he have gone for 2 points before, you know, the end of that game?
You know, I think that's, I think you could certainly say that in retrospect when you look back. It's always hard when you're on that, you know, that one-point game when he scored a touchdown in the third quarter, maybe a little bit too early.
Yeah.
I thought he got conservative. Unlike Andy, he got conservative at the end of the game.
Yeah.
You know, I thought he got into two tight ends. He got into 22 personnel. He ran the ball twice. You know, he was moving the ball pretty much any time he wanted against the Raider defense. I thought he got a little conservative at the end. But, look, hey, it took three extra plays to beat him. So, you know, any one of those plays could have gone any the other way.
I was watching. Even his deployment of timeouts near the end there, Mike, were puzzling. Did you have the same sense?
Well, yeah. You know, I mean, look, Jack Del Rio's puzzling, too, when you watch what he was doing. I mean, the challenge that he called, he gives away a timeout on that one that he knew he wasn't going to win the challenge on. I mean, that was really, I thought, poorly. But, Andy, you know, I've tried to figure out Andy for years, and I've given it up. I really have. I mean, he still calls timeout with 2:05.
Well, here's the thing, Mike, and I've given this a lot of thought because I pay close attention when I'm talking to you. And I think Doug's passed him as a strategist. I think Doug Peterson, who learned from him, is actually a better strategist than Andy Reid. Are you prepared to say that?
Those are your words.
No, I'm just. I want to see if we're on the same page here.
Yeah. One of the. When you walk into the Patriots' offices and speak for yourself, that's one of the rules of the building. I can speak for myself. You don't have to speak for me.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I think I need a little bit more time before I'm willing to go down that road. You certainly have no problem going down a road quickly. I know that.
Yeah, but I often will then do a U-turn.
Also do a U-turn. That's right. True Italian.
All right, Mike. We have had a lot of discussion in the past week about refereeing. I'll start with last night. You're right. There were actually, I think, fourth final plays. A couple weren't even on the clock. Mike, is that what the NFL wants? And were each of those calls absolutely necessary? Because they did take the game out of the hands of the players. And I'm wondering how you felt about that.
I wasn't sure. Like, I don't think ESPN CBS gave us enough. I thought Marcus Peters on the OPI, I thought he slipped a little bit.
Yeah.
I didn't think it really was as egregious as it looked because he did slip, you know. I don't know. At the end of the game there, I thought Cook got held. I mean, look, Kelsey got ripped going down on a big third down play. They just basically hit him. Look, Angelo, the one thing you learn in the NFL is each week there's going to be calls that go for you and there's calls that go against you. And at some point, they balance up. And the less you pay attention to it, the better off you are. Because when you become focused on the refs, all you do is bitch about the refs and you really don't focus on what you need to do to win the game. It all is going to even out at the end. I mean, look, I got killed in the Tuck game. I still haven't gotten over it. Don't tell me, you know, we're going to carry the bitterness with us for the rest of our lives. But you just can't really worry about it at the moment of the game. I mean, it eventually evens out. Just what you want is more consistency from each crew to crew. I mean, if that would have been a different crew, we would have had a completely different game out there.
Yeah, without a doubt. And
if Triplett would have done, I mean, I know you're picking on Pete Morelli.
Well, I'm about to get to it. Yeah, Mike.
He called a lot of penalties on the Eagles and he didn't call any on the Panthers. But, I mean, if Triplett was doing that game last night, we'd probably still be watching. It wouldn't be over.
All right, I understand that. But, Mike, you're right that eventually it evens out unless Morelli's involved. because hold on a minute. 10 to 1 last Thursday night. The year before, 14-2. Over the past 4 years, 40-8. Mike, if you're the GM of that team, you're calling the league office. You can't tell me that that's
out. You're going to clip it out. There's no doubt. I've always thought, you know, Pete's done a lot of our games. He used to be a principal of a small Catholic school in Stockton, California. He's a good man. I mean, you know, he's a little like, I always thought he was like Bob McAlee, the Haddonfield Township official who lives in Ocean City in the summertime. I always thought you got a good game out of Pete. Now, there's a lot of penalties, and the crew changes, and sometimes there's some inconsistencies that go on. I didn't think it was that. I mean, I know he called a lot of penalties on the Eagles, but some of them were the Eagles' fault, false starts. You know, he could have called a lot. There were a lot more holding penalties that could have been called in that game when you watched the tape closely.
I did, and most of them were against Carolina, and they didn't call any of them, Mike. I watched it. I spent weeks on this thing. All right, Mike, let me get to this other thing, because we're trying. I'm just going to ask you straight out.
You know, you're becoming like Jim Garrison. I mean, I think you are Jim Garrison. I mean, I think you're going to solve this referee case like Garrison was determined to solve the JFK case.
You know, I'm not sure how many people know.
I mean, he's
the guy from New Orleans. Yeah. I know. Mike, let me just – here's the thing, all right? This is what I'm trying to – are the Eagles – you see these power ranking things. At this moment, this snapshot in time, are the Eagles the best team in the NFL?
I think their defense is really hard to play because the front, they have depth this year. Last year when we talked, they didn't have enough depth. The Jernigan pickup was huge. I mean, that was a great signing for the trade for them. It gives them more depth. They can rotate the defensive line. Long's playing well. I mean, when you break down the Carolina game, I mean, Wentz was unbelievable on third down again, which is really remarkable considering that it goes against everything that we know about the NFL. To be this successful on third and 10 or more, and to have almost as many third and tens as the Cleveland Browns offense does, that's fairly remarkable to do and still come out of it. I think if I'm an Eagle fan, you got to really worry. The guy's taking a lot of hits. In that Carolina game, there was a lot of punishment that he got. They attacked the protections well. He got hit a lot. But I think the Eagles' defense is really good. Their offense has played when they needed to on third and 10. I mean, look, they're hard to beat. This will be a hard game this week against Washington. Washington's offensive line wasn't ready to handle the Eagles' defensive front in the first game. When you go back and watch that game, I mean, he's throwing the ball in the end zone to win the game, and it's the pressure of their front that won the game for him.
Mike, you're 100% right about we completely forgot the punishment that Wentz took in that first half. And, Mike, what do you do about that? I mean, we were holding our breaths because you can't lose the kid.
Tremendous hits. Yeah. He's taken more hits than most quarterbacks. I mean, he unfortunately can handle it, but one of these hits he's not going to be able to deal with.
He's
going to keep getting hit, and you got to change the protections. I mean, you can't have Ballmer blocking Thomas Davis when he's coming off the edge. I mean, that's not a matchup you're going to win. It's going to be hard to handle that, and you got to make sure that your quarterback isn't going to get hit as often as you can. Because let me say this, Angela, if they lose Wentz, you know, you can pack all the parade stuff and put it away.
I mean, that's you're 100% right.
The defense isn't going to carry them, so they get better. And the Eagles' problem starts with this. Everybody in the league knows it's not a secret. They know their backs can't protect, and so they attack their backs in protection. That's what people do, and it's going to keep happening more and more because the Eagles' runner backs can't protect.
This is why we put him on this level of knowledge. Mike, who's going to win Monday night against the Redskins? Who do you like?
This is rematch weekend in the NFL. The Jets are playing, Denver's playing the Chargers, the Jets are playing Miami, and the Eagles are playing the Redskins. This will be the second game. Look, I think the Redskins are a really good football team, but I think they've gotten hurt by a lot of injuries. The Jonathan Allen injury hurts them inside. They may not have either starting corner. Josh Norman went through some stuff this week. I don't know if he'll play. The Eagles should win this game, although I will say this. The Redskins' offensive line was bad in week one, and that's why they lost. They're playing much better now, and the Redskins' offense is really highly effective. They're moving the ball, but I think the Eagles will win. They'll be the better team in the game because there's too much depth. And I think the Redskins just don't have enough depth in terms of their overall team because of all these injuries that have occurred to their team.
One last one, Mike, and I'm asking you this because I want to make sure I'm behaving correctly, all right?
Yes.
Aaron Rodgers, great player, went down with a serious injury, broken collarbone, right? In the inner workings of a league, a team, right, when you know that that injury has helped your chances in the long run, how do you feel about it? I mean, you got to feel bad for the player. But do you walk around going, man, we got a lucky break there? What's the proper decorum after that kind of an injury?
Hey, look, I think for me, I'd look at it this way. If that could have been our quarterback, and we better do a better job of protecting him. And, I mean, I think that's what Eagle fans should take from that injury, because you don't want Aaron Rodgers out of their team. I mean, look, they averaged 24 points a game with Aaron Rodgers. They were 30th in the league in terms of getting sacked. That's with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, stuff's going to start falling apart. They threw the ball 65% of the time in the first half with Aaron Rodgers. They ran it 35. They're going to need to change what they do. But as you watch that injury, you say to yourself, Wentz could have that could have happened to Wentz on any one of those five or six hits he took in the game. And we got to do a better job protecting our quarterback.
Then explain this to me. You were with him. Why does it almost never happen to Brady?
Because Brady gets rid of the ball too quick.
He's just not in that spot.
Ball, and Brady doesn't, you know, Brady gets rid of the ball too quick. Plus, Brady's really good. You heard Romo last night talk about getting in the perfect play all the time because of what he sees. Brady's going to be in the perfect play 95% of the time. He's going to make sure he's in the perfect play. And if he can't block, if he knows, first of all, if he knows Bomber's behind him, just hypothetically, let's just make this very clear.
Yeah.
If he thinks he has Bomber behind him in protection, he's sending Bomber off the field, okay? Bomber's not staying in the game, all right? He's not going to allow anybody in his backfield that can't pass protect. One of the things that's always affected him, I mean, look, I think LeGarrette Blount's a talented player. I think he's a hard runner. The reason he didn't play on third down in a lot of passing situations is because he couldn't pass protect. And sure. Brady doesn't want anybody in the game who can't pass protect with him. So Brady's aware of the matchups in the game. He understands them, and he puts the team in the perfect play. And the ball comes out of his hand with precision and with accuracy and on time. He's taken way too many hits because he's held the ball a little bit longer this year. And I think last week he didn't get touched at all. Six plays last week. He was clean on 33 plays in the pocket last week. So he's doing a better job of that too. But that's how the game goes, Angelo. If you want to stand next to the quarterback on third down, you better block. Right now the Eagles don't have anybody that can do that.
You want to go on Twitter and follow it as it happens. Go to M. Lombardi NFL. You're going to get his thoughts on the moment. Mike, always a pleasure. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Angelo. Bye-bye.
Mike Lombardi.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.